Michael McGuire Jr. and Brother Bradley DeLong is Brother Michael McGuire. Come on.
Thank you, Brother Adam. I give honor to all the dads today. Happy Father's Day. And especially give honor to my dad who's here. Happy Father's Day. Let's celebrate with him this afternoon. Along with those gift-giving ideas there, Adam, I told my wife that I had a surprise gift for her for Mother's Day. And I'm telling you, I was so excited about this gift. And she kept pushing me to tell her what it was. And so finally, she broke me, and I told her that I was going to buy her a car wash package so that she could go wash her car whenever she wanted. And she looked at me and said, "Are you serious?" And I said, "Yeah, that's like the best gift you could ever get. You could go wash your car every single day at Blue Iguana on Merrimack Bottom Road." She said, "Michael McGuire, you better not buy me a car wash package." I don't know. If she would have bought me that, I would have been jumping for joy for Father's Day. But got her something that she liked, I guess. And I don't know. I'll let her pick out her own gifts from now on. She did get me one of those Blackstone griddles for Father's Day, though. That was awesome. If you have one of those, they're great. You're right. I'm still going to have to do all the cooking with this thing. But it is awesome. This morning, I had a wonderful time with my two kids. And if you were here Wednesday night, you understand that my daughter wakes up before me and pesters me to get out of bed. And so I wrote it down like this in my notes this morning. I beat my daughter up this morning. But it doesn't mean what it sounds like there. I meant that I woke up before my daughter this morning. I didn't actually beat her up. And then that was an accomplishment there. She came and snuggled me this morning. And then Austin, my little prankster, I asked him to go and start the truck for me and put a water bottle in the truck for me. I was running a little bit behind this morning, and if he could do that, I'd be able to jump in the truck and go. And he did that. Thank you, buddy. But while doing that, he turned the heater all the way up. Happy Father's Day to me. Oh, I love those kids. Aren't we thankful dads for our kids? They bring a lot of joy and laughter to our lives. Amen. The theme today is a vision, or the vision of a godly dad. And I want to talk about two attributes or characteristics that I see in a godly dad. I'm going to read from Mark chapter 5. You can stay seated, just three verses, starting at verse 21. It says, "And when Jesus passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him," the Bible says, "that he fell down at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." Many homes in America are suffering right now from the phantom father. A father that is not there, and even in some cases, when he is there, he's really not there. You see, the title father carries with it great responsibility. The home doesn't need a man in the house. The home needs a father in the house. One of the names used to describe God is Jehovah Shammah, and that means the God who is there. The God who is there. Dads, one of the aspects of a godly father is to be a dad that is present. A father who is there. And we get that example from our Heavenly Father because He's always there. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And when we call on Him in the time of trouble, He is there to help us. We see this also in the life of Jairus. He is there when his daughter needs him. He's not gone or too busy to deal with her situation or with her sickness. I want to be a dad that's present. Amen? I want to be a dad that's available when my kids need me. In Mark chapter 5, what we just read, Jesus just delivered a possessed man, and upon arriving at the shore, people have been looking for him and waiting for him as he arrives. Much people, the Bible says, gathered around him. But now we switch our focus from the crowd and we focus on one individual, one of the rulers of the synagogue. And his position is very important. You see, Jairus was a presiding elder of the synagogue, an assembly that included the whole community of Capernaum. His position made him one of the most prominent men of the congregation. He was neither a teacher nor a preacher, but he was responsible for the order of the synagogue service. He was the keeper of the sacred books. He was, in a sense, the president of the congregation and the administrative head of the city, or kind of like the city manager, so to speak. Every service, Jairus appointed someone to lead in prayer, someone to read the scripture. And if there was a visiting rabbi there, he would invite him to read from the scripture and to comment on them. So here we see a man who had a high social position. A man known among the people, a man of prestige and power, but a man who had a desperate need because his daughter was at home and was sick. Dads, you will never become so powerful or so popular that problems and desperate situations cannot reach you. I'm thankful, though, today that I have a Heavenly Father that is present, and He is always with me, and He will help me through each of those situations. He's always there to help. This man's little girl, I'm sure she was the apple of his eye, was dying. At this point in time, Jairus' position wasn't important. He would do whatever it took. Pride wouldn't stop him. Power wouldn't stop him. Popularity wouldn't stop him. Even though he is a man of great authority, the Bible says that he runs to Jesus. And when he gets to Jesus, he falls down at his feet. As dads and husbands, we like to fix things. When our kids come to us with a toy or something that needs to be fixed, we take pride in getting that tool bag together and going out there and fixing that toy. In fact, we just bought Ashlyn a Power Wheels little pink Mercedes car, battery operated, yesterday. Now, I put that thing together yesterday, and she came to me this morning and she said, "Dad, my car's broke." I was excited. I was like, "Okay, honey, well, after church, I'm going to fix that for you." But then as I got to thinking about that, I must have done something wrong the first time. That's why it's not working. But I said, "All right, baby, I'm going to fix that thing after church for you." It makes me feel like a man when Austin comes to me and he says, "Dad, I need help with this," and I'm able to fix it. That makes me feel good. The glow in his eyes when Dad has done that tells me that I just accomplished a great feat. And the funny thing is, I'm almost 33 years old. I still call my dad to help me all the time with things. We like to fix things as dads. We like to take control of the situation. If our kids need help, or if our wife needs help, if our family needs help, they need something, something's not going just right, we as dads, as men, as fathers, we want to fix those things. But dads, we must never feel too important or be too prideful to realize that there are just some things that we cannot fix. There are going to be times that the only way the situation is going to change is if we go to Jesus and get down at the feet of Jesus and seek His help. There are going to be times that we're going to have to call our Heavenly Father, and He will be there to help us out. So the Bible tells us that Jairus, in this dire situation, runs to Jesus and he falls down at his feet and he pleads with him and he besought him. He said, "I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live." He realizes at this point in time, he cannot fix this problem. He is the dad. And I'm sure that he tried to some degree to get this problem fixed. I'm sure he probably went to all the doctors he could go to. I'm sure he went and tried every solution possible to get healing for his daughter. But he comes to the point now that he knows he can't fix this problem anymore. He must get help. He puts his pride aside, he puts his position aside, and he becomes the father that his daughter needs. He didn't send the mother or the servant. Remember, he's a man of authority, prestigious. He could have easily said to his servant, go and get Jesus and bring him to my house. But he was the man and the father that his daughter needed him to be. And he went to Jesus and he fell down at his feet. He goes and he finds Jesus and he beseeches Jesus that he would come to his house. It's here in this moment that I realize when I look at what a godly dad is, it is both a dad that is present and a dad that falls down at the feet of Jesus. It's a dad that's not ashamed or prideful, that he will admit that he needs to spend time with Jesus. He needs to fall down with Jesus and talk to Jesus and have a conversation with him. Hear me today, dads. We must not rely on mom or anybody else to fall on their knees before Jesus and ask for help for our situations. We've got to be the men and the fathers that God has called us to be. And we need to find ourselves at the feet of Jesus. Another thing I notice in this story is that Jairus has a firm, solid, unwavering faith. He said, I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed. And he could have stopped right there, but then he spoke the words of faith. He said, when you come and lay your hands on her, she shall live. Spoke the words of faith. Had trust that when he went to Jesus and Jesus took care of the situation, that everything was going to be okay and everything would work out. There was something about his persistence and humbleness and faith that moved Jesus to follow him to his house. When my two precious kids look at me and the life that I've lived as a dad, I hope they say my dad was present in my life and my dad spent time at the feet of Jesus. If that's your prayer today, dads, would you lift your hands right now and would you just make a commitment that you're going to go and spend time with him, that you're going to be present in your child's time. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to be a father. I thank you, God, for your help, and I pray that you would help us as dads be the man of God and be the father that you have called us to be.
Why don't we continue that prayer right now? Would you lift your hands all across this place if you aren't already? And if you're a dad, pray along those lines. If you're not, pray for your dad right now. Lord, we need your help. We recognize and understand we are not able to fix everything. We thank you for the things you've given us to fix, but we also recognize that we need your help every day. We need you present in our lives, Lord, and we need to be present in your presence, Lord, and we need to be present, God, at an altar and present in the times of prayer. Help us to be a dad that looks like you, Jesus, and a dad that walks with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. And thank you to Brother Michael McGuire challenging us and helping us today. We want to be present, and we want to be a dad that falls at the feet of Jesus. I echo a happy Father's Day to all of our dads this morning, and I want to tell you, congratulations on being a dad. It is one of the greatest things we could ever do. I had a friend of mine recently who they were expecting a child, and he came to me and he said, yeah, we're expecting our first child. And I looked at him, I said, man, it's awesome. And he said, thank you. He said, because everyone's telling me it's going to be horrible. He said, everyone's telling me all the sleep I'm going to lose. And I said, well, yeah, there's that. But it is one of the greatest things. And I mentioned in the first service, there's just kind of this camaraderie amongst dads. We tell the same jokes Brother Dennis shared. I'll probably share those later. We laugh at each other's jokes because we get it. We say some of the same things. I thought a moment ago, we were driving back from out of town and we were going over a bridge and the river was up. And I just nonchalantly turned to Mariah and said, the river's up. And she looked at me and she said, you say that every time we go over a bridge, whether the river's up or not. I had no idea. I just said, yeah, the river's, we say the same stuff. It's just a dad thing. And it's one of the greatest things we can be a part of. I thought of this too, the grill tongs. We click them twice. We make sure that they work. And we just have all kinds of dad things we do. Along with that, congratulations to all of you dads. I do want to say again a happy Father's Day to my dad and to my brother and my brother-in-law. Thankful for these dads who are around us, and thanks for the opportunity to share some remarks this morning. I thought over this theme in recent days. It brought me back to a devotion that I shared with our youth concerning an experience I had with Mila. It took place in our yard just down the street. So to all of our youth, if this sounds familiar, I don't apologize. It was a routine day of following around Miss Mila. Some of you dads know as soon as your kid gets mobile, that's what you do now. That's your job. You follow them around and make sure that they stay safe. She was exploring the confines of our yard, gathering trinkets, or as we call them, rocks, all the rocks she could find. And this experience, however mundane it might appear on the surface, it gave me a newfound vision and perspective on our Heavenly Father, and one that has shaped me in recent months. It's really helped me to see clearly. Today I want to present that vision of a dad, but I want to present it in light of our Heavenly Dad, Heavenly Father, whom Romans says we can call Abba Father. The word Abba implying a closeness and a trust and an intimacy. That's what God wants with us. A closeness and that trust and that intimacy. He wants us to be close to Him. This is part of the picture and the vision of our Heavenly Father I received that day as I walked through the backyard with Miss Mila. Allow me to set the scene, the scenario for you. It was just a short walk with Dad that day in the yard. As I said, we were in the backyard where the terrain's a little more rough, and Mila is still young and doesn't know how to walk all that well, so you can imagine how that process went, how slowly that process went. It was painfully slow, and Miss Mila, we call her Miss Independent, she wanted to take her time. She wanted to take in every last blade of grass she could. Look at that one. Look at that one. I mean, I'm over there like, let's go. Let's move this along. We got to get inside. It's hot. Okay? I'm walking beside her. I'm observing each of those little steps. And sometimes the terrain would be rocky and rough. So she'd reach up my hand and she'd help, help, help. Okay, I'd go over and I'd help her. Another time she'd try it on her own. She'd fall over. She'd get some dirt on her hands and just stare at it. What in the world is this? I probably should eat this. That's going through her mind. One time she got distracted. She picked up a trinket, a rock to look at. It was hideous. But she completely forgot that Dad was there and that I was nearby. And then she remembered, oh wait, I'm supposed to be walking. So we started walking together again. We got to the concrete part of the yard. Mila tried to step up on a step. And when she did, her little sandal got caught. She tripped and she fell. And I didn't know it, but there was a piece of metal sticking out of a hay bale that we have in the backyard. And it cut the bottom of her forearm. Heard her yell, scream out in pain. So I picked her up really quick, and her mom came over and scooped her up. We took her inside. We calmed her down. We nursed her wound. We cleaned it. We wrapped it up, tended to her wound and to her pain. And later in the night, anytime it would start to hurt again, she'd just put her arm out. She'd go, And I knew that was my cue to kiss her arm and make it all better and all that. We did that for a couple days until that pain was gone. The healing had taken place. This whole episode taught me something profound that day and in the days since. In fact, right in the middle of our walk, I just felt the Holy Ghost kind of grab my attention and called me to take note of what was happening. Mila was taking a walk with Dad. It gave me insight into our walk with our Heavenly Dad. Gave me a vision of our Father. I noticed her struggle with that rough terrain, and like our Heavenly Father, I was there to help her when she needed it. And in saying this, I'll give the caveat. I recognize I'm playing the role of the Heavenly Father in this episode, even though I'm nowhere close to His level of love and attention for us. But even still, I hope the analogy rings true. While the terrain got really rough, I was ready to take her hand. I was ready to guide her through that terrain. And when she'd fall over, I'd stay close by in case I needed to pick her up. Many times she'd just catch herself, or she'd navigate on her own with her dad nearby reassuring her. I noticed her get distracted. She veered off the path a little bit. But even when she was distracted, I didn't move on. I didn't leave her. I didn't abandon her. I stayed nearby. I made sure she was safe. I waited patiently for her while she went on and she did other things. I never left her side. And when she fell that last time and wounded herself, she called out for help, and I was there instantly. When she needed me, I picked her up on her feet. I consoled her, and quickly her mama, which in this analogy would represent the church or the bride of the Father, ran to her and scooped her up, and we took her inside, and we bandaged her wound. We reassured her. We cleaned her up, and we did all of that as long as we needed to until she felt better and she was healed completely. Anytime that wound would start to hurt again, we addressed it. We reassured her. We comforted her. She was never alone. I want someone to hear that today. She was never, not for a moment, not for a second, alone. She was never out of my sight. She was never abandoned, even when she fell. She got wounded, even when she got distracted by other things, even when the terrain was rough and the path was obstructed. Dad was nearby and helped her through. And when she fell hard and life wounded her, Mom and Dad were ready to carry her if we had to and to care for her. What a picture of a short walk with Dad. One that just barely represents what it's like to walk with our Heavenly Father, who loves us with a love far greater than I could ever attain. And if this earthly dad would be that attentive and that helpful in that little girl's walk with all my shortcomings and my lack of focus and experience, think about how closely and carefully your Heavenly Father watches over you as you navigate life and even life in the midst of a storm. Even when you've fallen recently, He's been ready. Pick you up, carry you if He has to. Even when we've gotten distracted and we've neglected to walk with Him, He never moved on. He never left us. He never abandoned us. He stayed nearby, ready to walk with us again. Even when life threw its hardest at us and we were hurt and we were injured and wounded, God was and continues to be ready to care for us along with His body, the church. And I know it's just a simple insight from an inexperienced dad, but it shaped my perspective of late, and I hope it will help shape yours as well, especially when you add to it the fact, even though I love that little girl to the nth degree, I'd do anything I could to help her navigate that terrain, the rough terrain of life. Even still, my love is totally outmatched by the love that God has for us and each of you as well. What a vision of a Heavenly Father who assured us in Matthew 28:20 that, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And I know it's looked like the end of the world recently. I know we're living in perilous times and in some last days, but just like these fathers present today are not absent and they're involved in the care and the life of their kids, our Heavenly Father is not absent. He's not left the scene. He's not left the boat. He's not left the picture. He's here and He's ready. Our Heavenly Father is an ever-present help in time of trouble, which is where some of us may find ourselves today. And furthermore, He's with us always, even to the end of the world, which means He is not going anywhere. This God is not jumping ship when things get difficult, especially as we walk with Him. That's my vision of a dad this morning, a Heavenly Dad and Father who will never leave us and forsake us. And I want to offer Him thanks this morning. And I wonder if you just join me as Sister Christy comes to play. Would you lift your hands and your voices? And would you thank this God? Why don't we just take some time right here in a season to thank this God who has never left us, Lord, even when I got distracted, even when I veered off the path, God, even when I was focused on other things, You never left me and You never abandoned me, Lord. Even when I was wounded and I was hurt and I fell and I forsake You, Jesus. Even when I've been tripped up, You've carried me, God. You've picked me back up and You've cared for me, Lord. When I've been wounded, You've nursed that wound, Jesus. You've healed me, God. You've kept me going and You have never left or forsaken me, and You never will this morning. We thank You, Jesus. Would you clap your hands and would you thank Him this morning? A God who is always with us, we love You. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for who You are to us today. We thank You that You're an ever-present help. On this Father's Day, He continues to be our example as we teach our kids how to navigate through this life. On that note, I'm going to invite you to stand together this morning. We're going to pray along those lines. I know it may seem impossible given that God is perfect and His love is perfect as well. I want to pray this morning specifically that we, fathers, and anyone who wants to apply this prayer to yourself in whatever way you can, that we would be more like Him as we raise our kids in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It stands to reason that if I want to live up to the vision of a godly dad, then I need to get a vision in my heart and my mind of a true godly dad or father. And I don't think we can ever go wrong trying to be more like Him, praying a prayer along those lines, especially as we raise and teach these precious gifts He has given to each of us. I'd like us to take a moment right now. Dads, just be led of the Holy Ghost. If there's an attribute or something that God brings to your mind that you want to pray, Lord, help me to be more like this, or more like, help me to be faithful. Help me to be present. Help me to stop trying to fix everything and get in Your presence a little more so You can fix me a little bit. Whatever you feel led to pray, dads, I invite you to pray. And families, if you're nearby your dad, would you reach over and lay your hand on him if it's appropriate, or pray for your dad that maybe isn't here today. Would you lift your voices with me right now? And we're going to pray that we'd be a godly dad. Lord, we thank you for this vision. We thank you for this theme that is so much more than a theme today. It's a mission for me and for all of these dads. We want to be more like you, Lord. We want to look more like you. We want to talk more like you, Jesus. We want to act more like you. We want to be holy, Lord. We want to lead our homes and our children well. We want to teach and train them and grow them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We want to be like you, Jesus, in every way. Help us to be faithful like you, Lord. Help us to have your wisdom, God. And I pray today that if you need to fix some things in me, if you need to change some things in me, I offer myself to you, Lord, to my Heavenly Father, so you can help me and you can instruct me and you can teach me and you can change me. By the time I leave this place today, I want to look more like you, Lord. I want to represent you well in my community, Lord, in my home, on the workplace, or in the workplace and on the job. I want to sound and look like you, Jesus, amongst my family and my home. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we thank you for your help and for your example today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So thankful for this Heavenly Father. What an example he is to us. I want to thank as well our men's committee. And again, thanks to Brother Buddy DeLong, my dad, and his committee for all the work that they did, all the decor, the gifts, the service playing, so much more. Would you give them a round of applause? So thankful for all the work that's gone into this day. And while your hands are ready, why don't we give another round of applause to all of our dads today? We honor you, men. Thank you for being who you are. Last but not least, while you're doing that, we welcome all of our guests today. Thank you all so much for being here. I'll let your hands rest for a moment. This service is just a great way to honor our dads each year. I'm glad we do that, not just because I'm a dad, but because these dads deserve our celebration and honor. And while we're honoring them, I want to take a moment to honor two very special dads here at APC, along with their wonderful spouses. They will be celebrating their anniversaries this week, and they are none other than Brother and Sister Reaver and Brother and Sister Clark. Would you give them a round of applause? We honor them today, so thankful for their example, and for the sake of social distancing, we'll allow them to stay in place. But we wanted to present them with these cards today on behalf of APC and wish them a very happy anniversary. We love these leaders. They are such a blessing both here at APC and to Iglesia Pentecostal Apostolica. Brother and Sister Clark, we honor them and the Spanish congregation today as well. Also, I'll ask you all, I know you plan to do this, but take some time this week, send them a text. I think Brother Reaver knows how to text. He does that quite frequently. He's a man of correspondence. So send him a text, send the Clarks a text, and we'll take some time this week to honor them. You can be seated for just a moment. Thank you for standing. I'll dismiss you to go and enjoy your day and to celebrate your dads. But just before we do, I want to go over just a couple announcements again.